This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to Girl on Fire podcast on the Believe Network, New York's number one podcast network for personal growth. This is your host, Kirsten Franklin. On this week's episode, we're talking with Jamie McKinney, who was last year named by Denver Business Journal as one of the top 40 women in energy. She's a keynote speaker, leadership coach, author, and acclaimed barista of bravery, serving up cups of confidence every morning. She's the president and founder of Jamie Empowers, a company whose mission is to inspire women to ditch the doubts, speak up, and achieve the career that they deserve and desire. All right, guys, welcome to the show, Jamie McKinney. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you, Kirsten. Glad to be here.
I love it. I love it. So you could talk about anything. You're like me. But today I know that we're going to focus a little bit about really confidence, right? We're going to learn how to use confidence as a strategic tool to kind of, you know, bridge the differences between us and our coworkers, especially when we're in a field where maybe there's not a lot of us as women there, right? Yes. So I'm just going to chime in, tell all my steel-toed stiletto chicks and all of my tech girls, listen up, kitty cats. All right. So Jamie, you know, you really talk about leveraging confidence, you know, especially in this male-dominated world. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your story, because, you know, you're a woman in energy, male-dominated. So tell me a little bit about this. How that happened?
Yes, definitely. So it actually started when I was a woman in automotive, which is where my career began out of college. I was the third female to join a team of 400. I was the youngest by, on average, 20 years. I had not grown up in the industry, so I didn't have stories of, you know, when I was in pigtails running around grandpa's shop. You know, my first job out of college, so I had internships, but this was my first real foray into the business world. And part of it, you know, the naivety of it was I just thought, well, this is how the business world is. And I'm here to not just survive, but to thrive. And there was resistance. You know, if you were playing the game, which one of these things is not like the others, that was me. And to have this young, driven female, a lot of these guys were like, I'm not so sure about this. And the possibility that you could be my boss, I don't think so.
Right.
So, you know, there were shenanigans, I'll say, and resistance from some, and there was great support by the ones who they themselves were centered in their confidence. And I figured out a few years into it that the way that I was having success and earning promotions and doubling my salary when I wasn't the most experienced person in the room, I wasn't necessarily the most technically savvy. I certainly wasn't the most male in the room, but carrying myself and leading with confidence was that bridge, just like you said, Kirsten, was the bridge to make it all happen. And once I figured that out, I was like, ooh, this is my secret sauce. Like, this is a really cool little trick that I have here. And I was so fascinated by it that I started studying the neuroscience and really started digging into, you know, what makes us tick as far as confidence? Is this something just some people have and some people don't? Or, you know, I found that there's a lot more to it than just that.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to get into that in a minute, but I do have to ask, been around enough shenanigans from other male cohorts enough myself. But give us just one good example of the one of the worst things that have happened. I got to hear it from your side.
Gosh, one of the worst things. I mean, you know, in the early 2000s in collision centers, you know, there were the not so appropriate pictures and photos and posters, you know, hung up on the walls. And when we'd be walking the shop, the place where we'd often just happen to stop would be, you know, right in front of one of those posters. And it was testing me. And so I just made a point to keep walking to somewhere else that was more appropriate and more comfortable for me. Or, you know, there's one time I was at a shop in Chicago and I went to go use the restroom, which was questionable in and of itself. And there's this big fake rubber rat in it. And, you know, I just had to like, it definitely took me surprise when I was behind closed doors. But as I walked out, I just pretended like I didn't even see it.
See, you're classier than me. I would have turned around to the picture and been like, oh my God, he had Christy.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's another approach, definitely.
Oh my God. All right. So I love it because you uncover, discover, learn more. And then of course you create Jamie Empowers. So tell me a little bit about Jamie Empowers. What is it? What do we want from it? Why do we want to hook up with it? What are we going to get from it? What's special?
Definitely. So Jamie Empowers was not my idea. It came from requests of other women. And that's particularly what I love about it, because it certainly fits a need and a niche. So from automotive, I did transition over to the energy side, both on renewable and oil and gas. And when I got there, it was the same situation. Oh, male dominated all over again, except this time there were more women. And these women, I mean, Kirsten, talk about a brilliant collection of women. I mean, engineers, data scientists, women performing very complex calculations. I mean, all kinds of amazing things that my brain doesn't know how to do. But I noticed that they were having trouble speaking up and voicing that brilliance and getting passed over for promotions, not because they were not the most qualified on paper, they were, but when it came to really highlighting their skills and making themselves stand out, they lacked the confidence to be able to convey that information. And in 2017, there was a magazine article that came out. They had contacted me and they said, hey, we've been watching you. We want to do a feature story about a strong female and male dominated industry. We want it to be you. And that was, you know, quite an honor. I wasn't seeking that out or even hadn't even thought about it.
Right.
And when the article came out, and here's the tipping point of how we get to Jamie Empowers, that's when I started getting requests to come speak to women's groups. I'd spoken throughout my career, you know, on behalf of a company or a product or a service or something. But now it was, hey, Jamie, tell us what you know about confidence and leadership and tell us, you know, some of these lessons and how did you handle this situation? And so when I spoke, and I was working full time, you know, for somebody else at that point, each time I spoke, I had a handful of women come up to me and say, hey, I love this. I want to learn more. How do I buy your book? Which was not on my radar, was not something I had thought about. But you know, when the umpteenth person asked me, I thought, maybe there's something to this. So it all just kind of started evolving that way. I'll sort of, you know, skip over some of the details, but that's really how it all got started. And at the end of 2019, I had the initial manuscript written. I already had a few women reach out and say, yes, we'd love coaching, you know, help us build that confidence. Let's see the results. And then I'm proud to say that by the end of 2020, 92% of the women who completed the coaching program wound up with promotions and higher level responsibility.
Wow, that's amazing. Good job. Yeah. I love it.
So they cracked that code. They learned the formula. They implemented the tools and the actions, and they're rocking and rolling.
So I love this. So you were really able to create a business out of something, not only that you kind of experienced, understood, you know, kind of became a passion, right? And so, you know, are you out of the corporate world at this point in time? Are you fully focused on your, you know, this coaching business and writing and speaking?
Oh yeah. This is a full-time gig. I'm in the corporate world as now they're my clients.
Right. Awesome. So then I'd love to know this is what was sort of the biggest unexpected challenge? Cause obviously you've managed corporations, you know, the strategy and all of the good stuff and marketing, blah, blah, blah. Right. But when you hop out on your own, regardless of how that happens, yeah. You know, regardless of how much of a genius we think we are, there's always that big unexpected thing. There's things that you expect, things that you could flow with, but there's kind of that one thing that you're like, oh shit, I didn't know that was going to happen. Right?
Right.
So tell me about one of those things. Like, what was your biggest unexpected challenge that occurred?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kirsten. You know, I once heard somebody say that being an entrepreneur is one of the most spiritual journeys one can go on. So you're smiling. That's very true. And you know, a lot of this was happening during the very beginning of the pandemic. And so for somebody who's extroverted and used to working with people and really thrives off of that energy, in some ways it was a brilliant gift, because building a business is not something that happens on its own. And to do it right and to do it with foundational pieces and research and not just be, you know, half-assing things, you've really got to put in the time and the infrastructure. And so it was, as a high performer, overachiever, which I know your listeners will relate 100%, right? It was great in some ways, because with literally nothing else that I could do, being locked inside my house, I just worked and worked and worked. But the challenge that I ran into is that that's not a sustainable pace. And I had to have a conversation with my own business coach, Travis Barton, who's amazing, that I wasn't burnout yet, but like I could feel it a little bit viscerally. Like, this might be coming on, because, you know, working 12-hour days, 7 days in a row, week after week, is not sustainable. And, you know, the perfectionist in me and the one who was saying like, well, if I'm not working on it, nobody's working on it. But Travis did a really good job of talking me off of my ledge. I also like to say that since 2013, I've been a member of the Perfectionist Recovery Program.
It's a lifetime membership. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a journey, not a destination. I had to instill my own office hours, realizing that my self-care and prioritization of my energy was hugely impactful to the quality of my product and to my clients. And that is my main goal in life, to serve them powerfully. So it was definitely, you know, back to the point about a spiritual journey. It was a spiritual process, a mindful process to get there.
Yeah.
But well worth it. So, you know, I implemented my own office hours. I still work overtime sometimes, but at least I have, you know, I have the threshold, and I know when I'm pushing it too far.
Yeah. And I love that. And it's funny, like COVID. So I happen to be a parent, a single parent, and my daughter happened to be like 10 turning 11, and now she's like 12. Right. And so it was something like that. That's why I was laughing about this overachiever and journey thing, because, you know, I very intentionally, when she was little, built a life and lifestyle where I could do anything at any time with her, because she had no one else. And I was like, I'm that kind of old school parent. Like, I'm going to be there. Like, I had you, I'm going to be there. Right. And so that was a big learning curve, but it was so funny, because I was just saying this the other day, I decided to up and start 3 companies during COVID. And I'm not talking, like, no offense to anybody, I'm just saying, like, I'm not talking like little mom and pop shops, which would take more of my time. I'm talking about with teams and all that stuff. And I just realized, like, I had to go out and do something with her. And I was like, oh my God, it's not going to fit my calendar. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I went immediately back to like 1998 Kirsten, or like 2005 Kirsten, like, you know, like nobody's business. Like, oh, we got all this stuff, right? And I was like, wait a second, that's not right. Everybody get off my calendar. Like, yeah. Like, I was like, wait, I didn't do all this for nothing. Like, you know, and then you know, people always ask me too. They're like, oh, like, especially I have a, significant amount, like, these days, of small business owners and small business startups, not like tech startups, not like startups, right? Like, but like small business startups. And it's interesting because I don't know, I blame social media, but they all are doing this for like, for family and lifestyle, right? Like financial freedom and to have a certain lifestyle. And I do believe you can build it and have that lifestyle, but you better expect to build it slowly. And if it's not your passion project, meaning like, if you're not willing to stay up till 2 to do something, then it feels like work. You're probably not doing the right thing, because, you know, like, when you really love what you do, you're like, oh shit, no, I don't want to go to bed at 9:30. Like, I don't want to stop. Like, I, you know, like, you're just like, but I could do the one thing. And you're not doing that because you have to get something done. You're doing that because so much energy is there and it's so exciting. And like, you love doing it. Like, why stop? Right. Like, there's a massive difference. So it was interesting that you said that, because I'm like, yeah, you can still stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. It's all right.
Well, and it's the difference between I've got to get this done and looking at the clock and going, oh my gosh, it's 2 a.m.
Right.
Like, because you just, you know, you got so lost in it because you are excited about it. And I'm curious, Kirsten, that day that you had to set your calendar aside and go do something with your daughter, do you remember what you did with your daughter that day?
Yeah, we got ice cream. she had to go to the doctor. We got ice cream. And then I just decided to take the rest of the day off so we can hang out, which wasn't very successful because she is 18. And she was like, I think one of my, I don't know if it was YouTube or Twitch. Of course, I'll get that wrong and I'll be all wrong. But she had to go watch someone like Twitch stream live by 2 o'clock. So I was like, all right. But yeah, we ended up like she had an appointment in the morning. We ended up just hanging out, having ice cream. I live across the street from Central Park. We were just chilling, like old school chilling, like when she was 8, walking through the park and just noticing things. We found a little squirrel nest, like a whole bunch of little baby squirrels and adult squirrels. And so we just had fun.
Excellent. And this is the coach coming out in me. I love that you have such vivid memories of your experience that day with your daughter, with your main priority. Do you recall exactly what you were working on for work that day?
Exactly. Nope. And I don't even care because it all got rearranged because I have somebody that could rearrange that. That's right. That's right, sister. And I love that. I love that. Okay. This is what I also love because, you know, I always tell people when you're going to hire a coach, ask them this question, who are they coach? Who's their coach? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. I don't know where all these coaches are coming from, but it's so funny because if you really believe and understand in what coaches do, you usually have one or several, right? Like I have two right now. Right. Yeah. So it's like, I love that you have a coach, that you are a coach because you get what that is all about. And once you get one, you're never not going to have one or two or three.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, it's so amazing. I love that. So let me ask you this, because you definitely at this point have things a little bit systematized. What's your process in overcoming challenges? Like whatever they be, like what typically do you do?
Yep. That's a great question. Over the years, I mean, the one thing that I've done, so we've got, there's a longer term and a shorter term strategy here. Longer term, I've conditioned my mind to look at challenges as opportunities, not obstacles. And so having that mindset is key because, you know, both are going to take energy. One type of energy is going to invigorate you and another type of energy is going to drain you. And with only so many hours in the day and only so many units of energy, I want to make sure I'm using, you know, making the most of mine. So it's just, you know, it's a mindset that I've worked to condition over time. The second piece, the shorter term, like the instant applicability side of it, is to make it smaller. And, you know, when you've got that challenge, so this is not professionally related, but personally, I had a big bike ride over the weekend. It was an 80-mile bicycle ride, 6,500 feet of elevation gain. And as my own little experiment to be my own guinea pig, at the beginning of that ride, I let my mind go to just focusing on, oh my gosh, 80 miles, the intensity, how hard it was going to be. And like, I could feel I let myself go there because I know how to get myself back, but I just wanted to see and, you know, talk my walk. And I could feel viscerally myself start to freak out. You know, my heart rate was increasing, not because I was on the bike, but simply because of my thoughts.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can't get to the 80 right now. All I can do right now is one pedal stroke at a time, mile by mile. And when I had to rewind my mindset to get back into that, like I could feel myself calming down. And, you know, so now take that and apply it to professional goals. Okay, I want to get the promotion. Mm-hmm. I want to earn VP status. Okay, awesome. That's your aspiration. Now, let's chunk this down into the exact steps to get there, because the aspiration is not something you can achieve in an instant, but the steps to get there are, and you measure your progress. And so that's a big piece of it is making right. it smaller so that you can achieve it. And again, as for high performers, you need to be able to see those little bits and pieces of progress.
Yeah. Or it falls apart real fast. Yeah. And I always love that little, like posts with the miners, like how the one guy reaches the diamond and the other guy quits like 5 feet from it. But that's exactly why it's a mindset game, because you get tired out. If you're thinking the goal is diamonds instead of the goal is just, let's see how far we can go. Right. And the end result could possibly be diamonds. It's kind of like it's Like, it's all in your head. Like, it's always all in your head. That's the answer, period. Everybody listening, that's it, done.
I hear my clients will often say to me, there's a specific module in the Three Pillars of Leadership coaching program where we set some goals. And it's hilarious because at first I'm like, who likes to set goals? Nobody raises their hand. But then when we unpack the process a little more, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. This it works like this, not like that. But what almost everyone says at the end is, you know, they look at their goal. It's a lot more concrete. It's a lot more achievable than it was when it started. And they say, you know what? The only thing standing in the way of my success is me. And I got this. Like, I know I can do this. So just like you said, Kirsten, it is mindset, and it takes, you know, it takes some delayering. Like, there's some social conditioning. There's some things that have been happening throughout each of our life experiences. And if we weren't aware of it at the time, it casts this shadow or this weight that makes things harder. But the good news is, because it's all mindset, it's not concrete. We can remove that with some intention. So.
Yep, for sure. And that's funny because it does take that. I think that people see the end goal and they don't know how to slow down to speed up, right? Like, you don't know how to slow it down. Like, okay, this is how we do it. You're so busy trying to get to that end goal that it's all like this rush. It's like, we're going to get it in a year. It's like, you're going to be pissed off if you make $10 million in 18 months versus 12 months because you slow down. Like, nothing's changing. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, everybody, slow your roll. but that is, you know, I found that to be the hardest part of all that I've learned is that slowing down, is that actually taking just the time to even sit in your program, right? Like, okay, I know I have to be here. But if you notice, like, unless you have total control over it, like, you're helping them have control that, you know, a lot of people, especially when you go en masse, like, they're there to like soak in the information, but they're not going to take the action unless you train them to take the action, which is the only thing that matters in the end, right? It's kind of like, okay, I will sit on this call with you live for an hour as you brain dump and write. Go. Like, you know, sometimes it takes, right? It's like crazy.
Accountability.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this, you know, obviously with the focus on, you know, gaining confidence, I know we kind of went a little bit off there, but, you know, in your opinion, in your research, in your knowledge, where does that really come from? Right. Because like you said earlier, like, oh, sometimes people think like you're just born that way, but that's not really true. Like, so where does that really come from? Where do we get it from?
Yeah. Great question. Let's unpack this a little bit. So there is a confidence gene. So some people are naturally born with more confidence than others. However, confidence is also like a muscle. And, you know, just like the gym, the more you go to the gym and the more you do those exercises to build your biceps, the more they're going to grow. And confidence is that same way. So just because you're born with it or not does not mean you're stuck with what you were given. You can definitely prioritize conditioning it. So a key piece on that is knowing that you're in charge of it. And I often talk about confidence as if it were a currency. Mm-hmm. I want you to picture like your bank account, right? Kirsten, like, it has your name on it. You know the password. You choose how to grow it, how to invest it, and how to spend it. And when you start to think about your confidence in this same way, almost like this quantitative amount that's in an account, this gives you the power and the validation to say, I'm the one who's in charge of making deposits into this account. I'm not going to let somebody make a withdrawal without my permission. Because sometimes when we get in situations or around people who intimidate us, we just like open up that account and we let somebody else deplete it. And that's not their balance to take.
Right.
That's yours. And so there's a responsibility in maintaining your account and protecting it and not allowing a security breach, because it's so foundational to everything else. So, you know, so a conditioning exercise, for example, is something on a daily basis that you can do that just puts a smile on your face or pumps you up. Like, for some of my clients, and I can show you, you know, like what my phone looks like. I have alarms that go off on my phone all day with little mantras, little reminders of, you know, I attract abundance, or I'm here to serve my clients, or I am at my highest and best self, or, you know, I have one that just, can't believe the timing of that. It's literally going off telling me to breathe right now, reminding me to breathe. So that's helping you get centered in that confidence and just giving yourself a little boost, plugging yourself in a little bit proactively. before you even run up to that situation that's attempting to make that unauthorized withdrawal from your confidence account.
I love it. I love it. So let me dig into this because this happens as well. So for those people that, you know, set the alarms, right? They definitely set the alarms, doing it every hour, every half an hour. What is something that they can do when all of a sudden they've built a neural pathway that ignores the alarm? You know, like they've shut it off so many times, like now it's so easy to shut off because now you have a little pathway that says, oh, skip, right? So what can we do to kind of rope them back in and start doing it again, being consistent?
Yep. Replace it with something that inspires you, because that will happen. The mantra or the relationship with that alarm will run its course at some point.
Right.
And that's just your indication that, okay, your brain has expanded in that area and now it needs next level stimulation. So find something else that gets you excited, you know, a song, something, a compliment that someone gave you. You know, another idea is to set a reminder every day. I call it your confidence boost alarm, mm-hmm. to send an empowering message to somebody else, because there's this boomerang effect that happens that, you know, like this morning, for example, mine went off. Kirsten, if we had already been acquainted and I had your cell phone number, I would have sent one to you to say something like, hey, rock star, you're going to have an awesome day, sending you empowered vibes. Right. And then you get that and you're like, oh, how did you know, Jamie? Thanks so much. You too. Right. And there's this instant exchange of an empowered woman empowering another woman, and it comes back. And so that's definitely a way to interrupt your cycle and to level up. If it's not working on your own, engage somebody else, because that energy will have an accretive value.
I love it. I love it. So what has been the greatest piece of advice you think you've ever gotten?
It's a wonderful question.
Hard one, right? Because it's like personal, professional, this.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many. It's hard to put that in the superlative category, because I've had a lot of great advice. So I might, if you will give me the grace to give you, to say at least two things.
Okay.
One is saying yes when special opportunities and invitations for projects come your way. Say yes. You know, early in my career, I had people who were, you know, on my, I call it your MAC team, your mentors, allies, and champions, which is also an intentional and strategic thing to do. And when they would come to me and say, hey, Jamie, we've got you earmarked for this. We want you to participate this. And even when I was like, I don't even know what that is, but they recognized some potential in me that I didn't see in myself, because they had that longer runway. They had a bird's eye view that I didn't have. And so I just said yes, because I trusted them. And wow, did that open up so many opportunities. So when someone whom you respect and trust comes to you and offers you something, whether you know what it is or not, say yes.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is lead with your authentic self when you're following through with that. And, you know, it takes a little while in life to figure out who your authentic self is. But part of that is putting yourself in those situations where you wouldn't have normally been, and you get to decide, yes, I like this, or I don't like that, or this feels good, or I like engaging with that kind of person, I don't enjoy, you know, just noticing where your energy is. Because like I said, we only have so many energy units, so you may as well use it in a place of authenticity that's invigorating, you know, rather than something else.
Okay. Worst piece of advice you've ever gotten.
Yeah. This one's easy.
All right.
Worst piece of advice is, put your head down, work hard, and someone will notice you, and, you know, they'll tap you on the shoulder and say, here's the promotion, here's the increase in pay. It'll just automatically.
Yeah, not happening.
I mean, it might occasionally does, but that's, you know, for high performers, that's not a proactive strategy. You're going to get bored before that happens. So, you know, take the reins in your own hands and do the hard work. But enlist your confidence to ensure you've got the visibility around it, and you are getting credit for it.
Yeah. And it's a whole other show that maybe you'll come back and we could talk about, because, you know, coming from the legal landscape, you know, the number of female law partners and being able to perform even at higher levels than maybe their male counterpart in that same area of practice, and even making more money for the firm than someone else, still that might not happen for them. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm like, hell no, not going to happen. Yes. And we could talk about, you know, again, another show about what it is, you know, innately in women. And I don't care like what country we're coming from, but maybe it's just a manner in which we're raised, which I think we're kind of getting out of, But even still, I see it. It's like, women don't boast about their accomplishments. Women don't throw it out there. Like and I don't want to try and pit male versus female. It's just a fact that I notice that if a woman accomplished these seven things and a man accomplished these seven things, and they're walking into this boardroom and they have to, you know, talk about why they're great. This dude's ready, willing, and able to, yo, I just did these seven things. She's like, well, because I'm great. I'm like, all right, universe, we'll save it for another episode. The universe wants you back on the show. I'm like, because I want to know the answer. You're going to tell me the answer after we stop recording. But for some reason, like all of a sudden your sound literally cut out. I'm like, and I'm trying to like, oh, it'll come back on. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I'll definitely tell you because I think you'll be fascinated.
Yeah, I totally want to know this. And for our listeners, you will know this. Don't worry. We're going to give this to you. So I heard a fun fact about you. And tell me if it's true, that your spirit animal is the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. True or false?
Absolutely true.
I love that. Yeah. All right. So what would you like to leave our audience with? And please let us know where they can find and follow you.
Definitely. So I would love to have them head to jamieempowers.com. There's resources, there's freebies, there's an online mini course that I'd be happy to offer to your listeners. It's the 5 Secret Gifts of Confidence, What Professional Women Know. You can purchase my book on the website, Speak Up Sister, The Professional Woman's Guide to Confidence and Success. And, you know, I think to leave with each other is that as women, we have an option to support each other or to not, to think that, you know, going it alone or elbowing our way up to the top is going to be the path of least resistance. And anytime you feel that you're in more of a competitive than a collaborative situation with another woman, that's a sign that there's an insecurity or a blockage. So lead with your confidence instead, and notice that when we collaborate and when we share in our confidence and we uplift each other and we complement each other's strengths, there is so much more power and productivity in that. It's all about collaboration over competition.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So you guys heard it here. So that is it for this week. Thank you for joining me. And I hope that you enjoyed today's show. If so, don't forget to rate it. If you guys have a pressing question, feel free to tweet me at CS Thrive or on Instagram at Thrive Tribe 3.14159. Again, I know that's a weird one. It's just pi. So it's thrive underscore tribe underscore 3.14159. Or of course you can join me in Facebook at my free group, which is Thrive Tribe Global. If you just search groups and you enter in Thrive Tribe Global, you should see us there and you can join it for free. I answer your questions in there, but if you guys send me a question through there, I will be sure to answer it here on this podcast. And as always, if you're ever interested in advertising on the show, please contact the Believe Network at Believe, B-L-E-A-V, at Believe.com. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.